All right. Can you hear me now? Everybody else look kind of small behind this. Seems like I just fit, doesn't it? Who knows where that's been? I'm going to put that right back there. Well, you know you're all welcome, all you who are guests today. We're so grateful you're here. Obviously, we're in the middle of VBS. Today is our final day. And it's always a wonderful thing that takes enormous amount of preparation, planning, and good old hard work. And for those who are involved in this, you know who you are, and we do too. But we just want to give you a round of applause. Come on, folks. Amen, amen. So we're talking about grace, a passage that we've been using to commit to our memory is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and it says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God." Let's say it together, Ephesians 2, 8. "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God." Say it again. "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to be moving kind of quickly this morning, so let's see if we can follow along together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse 1. It says, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So, As is our adult class on Sunday morning prior to worship, Jeremy did an excellent, excellent job. And we got onto this topic of faith as well. And it's a word that is not easily understood, not because it's so complicated, but because it's so simple. Unmerited favor. God gives us unmerited favor. And it's a word that is odd because we don't earn and so we can't take credit. But it has the ability to do everything for us and to usher us into the presence of God Himself. It's a difficult word. There are two furniture makers. This is a true story. In the 1800s, who came up with a competition between the two. And one of the guys said, "I believe I can come up with a word, I can make it up, and I can get it put into the common spoken English language. What I'm saying is I can make up a word, and it can be used by everybody, and it will be used just that way." And his friend thought that was absolutely ridiculous. His friend said, "You could never do something like that." And so he went home to his apartment that night and he worked on it. And looking through the dictionary, he came up with a gathering together of letters and decided that would be his word. And the word was quiz. Q-U-I-Z. If you read the etymology of this word, you find out that it goes back to this story in Dublin, Ireland, of these two people. What our guy did was he took a bunch of chalk and he began to write this made-up word on the walls and on the doors, on the street pavement, all around. Each night he would continue to write and replace that which had been washed away during the evening. And pretty soon people began to talk about it in the restaurants and in the pubs. And then the local media got a hold of it and they began to circulate columns and articles saying, "What is this? Where did it come from? And over time, this continued, and it continued to such an extent that the word quiz was commonly defined as questioning. Questioning. And if you look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, you're going to find out not only where this word came from, but also how we use the word. Sometimes words can make all the difference. And sometimes words have the ability to change everything. And that's the way grace is. Grace changes everything. Now, if we look in Scripture, we find out that there are two people in the history of the world who have changed everything. Two people that changed everything. And they did it through just one act. They did one thing, and it changed everything. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, mankind, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And who is that man? That man is Adam. What was he thinking? And I'm still a little upset. I mean, Adam, come on. Did you wake up in the morning thinking that you would do this? Did you think about the ramifications of what you did? You thought it was a piece of fruit. Much more than that, it invented sin. And we now all get to die. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. How come we don't use the word Adam like Jezebel? Why are people still calling their children Adam? I mean, there's nobody ever did us so dirty as Adam did. Two people that changed everything. Adam was one of them. And Jesus Christ is the other. Scripture, and I'm not overstating this, Scripture puts full blame for human sin on the shoulders of Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Notice what it says. Genesis chapter 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" That seems simple enough to me. I mean, I could do that. I didn't have to eat off that tree. I didn't have to eat off that tree. Now, as much as I blame Adam, Eve was a real problem. Eve was a real problem as well. Through the act of disobedience that Adam committed, all of us have inherited death, and all of us have sinned. In fact, all of us joined Adam in his sin. All of us joined him in what he did. Nothing is more far-reaching than this. Because of one man and one sin, everybody sins. But preacher, I don't know if that's exactly true. Preacher, come on, let's think this through. Do all people die because of Adam's one sin, or do all people die because we sin ourselves? Is that it? I mean, let's not put all the blame on Adam's shoulders. We sin ourselves. Well, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true that we sin ourselves. But beyond that, we have to understand that we join Adam in his sin. Notice with me Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. To be sure, listen to this. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern for the one to come. Who's a pattern for the one to come? Adam is a pattern for the one to come. He brought death and he brought sin into the world, and yet he's a pattern for the one to come. And that one to come is Jesus Christ, not to join in the sin, but to be that other person who changed everything. Adam brought sin into the world through disobedience. Jesus cured sin for the world through his obedience, yes, even death upon a cross. Adam through disobedience, Jesus Christ through obedience, through faith. Through faith. There's a contrast between condemnation and justification as we find it in Scripture. Notice chapter 5 and verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses and justification. What that means is this. We are broken through Adam. We're put back together again through Jesus. And that happens by way of grace. In Adam, God sees us as sinners. But in Jesus, God sees us as saved. And that makes all the difference for us. Grace, like the word quiz, it's a difficult word for us. The story is told about a college student who, during the summer, in order to earn wages to continue his education, worked at a coal firing plant, a place where coal was brought in, burnt through giant chimneys, giant smokestacks, dozens and dozens of stories tall. Have you ever seen those? If you're driving through North Carolina, they've got a giant coal plant. And I mean, those chimneys are so high. The only reason that I can think that they would make those chimneys that high is so the wind would catch the smoke and blow it into Canada. I don't know why else they would do it. But this unenviable job of this young man was to be lowered down inside of those chimneys, those smoked stacks, when they had deactivated the burner for a period of time, to do scheduled maintenance. And his maintenance was this. He had a long pole, and on the end of it, he had a flat piece of metal, and he would scrape creosote off the side of the inside of these smokestacks. That's what he'd do. And he did it day after day after day after day. Lowered so far down that he would look up and see nothing but a circle of light, and down below him, nothing but pitch blackness. And it paid good money, and he got to go to college, so he did it. Except for one day, he got particularly tired. His arms were giving out because he'd been working so long that time. And as he's standing on this lowered plank scaffolding, he caught his foot on a rope as he moved backwards, and he fell backwards into the gaping abyss of the blackness. His feet were no longer on the scaffolding at all, and he found himself flying through space to his death. Except, after only about 8 feet, he fell on a black metal safety grate that's inside of every one of those smokestacks. I mean, that safety feature is inside of every single one. And this guy was never going to die, but he was scared like he was going to die. You and I live our lives in the blackness of our sin, convinced that if we make one wrong move, it's all over. Convinced that the sin that I did yesterday, I promise I won't do it today, and I promise I won't do it tomorrow, because I don't want to fall. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to fall deep into the blackness of being alone for eternity. I don't want all of that. And I went to church and the preacher told me that that's what was going to happen if I don't straighten up and fly right. But I can't seem to do it. The very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do it every day. I do it every day. And we live our lives terrified that grace isn't real, that forgiveness isn't possible. And when finally the time on earth is gone, and we find ourselves falling through the blackness of our own death, we think it's the end, but it's not the end. For we fall into the very arms of Jesus, who is there all along. And that's grace. And that is grace for you and I. Through Adam, a lot of bad stuff happened. To the whole world, it happened. But through Jesus Christ, everything has been made right again. There was a criminal in state penitentiary who was soon scheduled to be executed for murder. The story about him is he received an uncommon amount of publicity because he had agreed to be a cornea donor to somebody. He had agreed that at his death, they could take the cornea out of his eye, and for a blind man, he would now be able to see. And as the story continues on, he gained some notoriety for being willing to do this. In fact, it came to the point where they even met each other. And in a course of weeks after that first meeting, he was executed. They took the cornea out, they put it into the eye of this other man, and his sight was restored to him. So I heard about that story, and I think that's a very heartwarming story. But I'm wondering if there would ever be an occasion where the guy who can now see got pulled over by the police, and somehow they could look deeply into his eyes and find out, maybe on dispatch through the radio, that this guy is the one who received this murderer's cornea. And I wonder if the policeman could then get the guy out of the car and throw him in his squad car and take him down to the station and book him for murder. You see, he is the one who is carrying in his body that murderer's eye. But of course, we know that that would never happen. We know that could never, ever happen. And while I've done a lot of talking about Adam, I want you to realize that what he did and the sin that he ushered into the world doesn't condemn us. Doesn't condemn us. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the cure for our sin has always been grace. Always been grace. From being in Adam to being in Christ, that is my story of God's grace. Because there are only two kinds of people here on earth. There are those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. And what changes from being lost to being saved has always been Jesus himself. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Boy, for me, that doesn't take half a second. That didn't take half a second. I don't have a problem at all. Well, then thirdly, do you believe that the Scripture would tell you to obey Christ, being baptized into water, you can have those sins washed away? And do you also believe that after that, when we sin, we come before the Father and ask for forgiveness, and He gives it to us every single time? That is the miracle of God's grace that is open to everybody. God's law shows us how sinful we really are. The law is like a magnifying glass, isn't it? A magnifying glass doesn't put more dirt on the glass slide. It just shows it off more. You just see it more. The magnifying glass has no ability to change anything. It just makes what is there the most obvious. And that is how it is with our sins. We don't need a cosmetic cure. We need a cure to sin that goes down to our very atoms inside of our body. And that is the cure that we're offered. You see, as deep as sin goes, grace goes deeper. As wide as sin is, God's grace is wider. When sin abounded, grace superabounded. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. True freedom has never been found in the law, for the law is a magnifying glass. All it does is show our inabilities to be larger than they are. We have started this process, right? Some of you have been coming to church your whole life. I mean, Sandy was like 6 days old before she went to church for the first time. Now, granted, she didn't go willingly. Her heart was in the wrong place. Kicking and screaming, she was brought into the church building, an embarrassment to her entire family. Folks, I gotta tell you, I'm newer to this Christianity stuff than some of you are. But when I heard about Jesus, and you know what? At 18 years old, I didn't know a thing about Jesus. I didn't know anything about Jesus. My parents weren't against Jesus. We just never talked about him. The only thing that I thought Jesus for a while was my name. Yeah, I'd do something wrong and my daddy would go, "Jesus!" And I thought, I'm here. That's right, it's me. But Christianity for me was too good not to be true. And it remains that way today. Folks, you came in Adam, but you leave this morning in Christ. You leave in Christ. And that is because of grace. You know, Michelangelo started 44 statues. Did you know that? He only finished 14. All the rest of them are in a museum in Florence, Italy. Big blocks of granite with a hand sticking out, or half a forehead. They never got finished. The great artist never got around to it. But these unfinished projects in our life are made finished through the grace of Jesus Christ. I've tried to complete the job on my own, but I always come up short. I always come up short. The grace of God is the power that saves. The gift of grace is given through Jesus Christ. All you need to do this morning is accept the gift. Accept the gift. You know, if a person could be saved any other way than by grace, God would have done it. I mean, who wants to do that? Who wants to give up your son? Is that what you want? Can you imagine that for your own kids? Just choose one of your kids. And determine for somebody in this room, you are willing to torture them to death and then hang them on a cross. Do you love anybody here that much? I dare say you don't. I dare say you don't. I mean, my son just turned 41 yesterday. I wouldn't give him for any of you. I'd let you all die and go to hell before I'd give you my son or my daughter. And I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. But God's not like me. God gave everything for us to be saved. And still some of you sit here having never believed, having never confessed, having never been baptized. What more could God have done for your salvation that He's already done? What more could He do? So grace. Sin came into the world through Adam. Grace came into the world through Jesus Christ. It's a really good book by Bill Hybels, used to be the minister for the Willow Springs Church. The book is called Do or Don't. Do or Don't. Or Do or Done. The difference between religions in the world is this. Most religions in the world, except Christianity, are all based upon the word do. You've got to offer this sacrifice, wear this clothes, memorize this. You've got to do all the things in the correct order for you to be acceptable to whatever God it is they bow down to. It's all about doing or working. Christianity is not about that. Christianity is all about done. What has been done for you. It's already been done. And grace is that which saves and waits to save you this morning. God bless you all. It's going to be a wonderful day as VBS comes to a close. You're loved by this church. If you're a guest, I want you to know that God had a plan for you to be here today. Perhaps you have found a spiritual home. Let's take this time to stand and to sing together, and if there's a need, then we want to hear from you right now. Let's stand.